नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नारं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 18, Text 37. The chapter is titled, The Residents of Jambudvipa Offer Prayers. Text 37. द्रव्या क्रिया हेत्व अयनेश कर्तृभिर् माया गुणैर् वस्तु निरीक्षितात्मने अन्वीक्ष्यां गति गताशि आत्म बुद्धिभिर् निरस्त माया कृतये नमो नमः. द्रव्य क्रिया हेत्व अयनेश कर्तृभिर् माया गुणैर्वस्तु निरीक्षितात्मने अन्वीक्षयां गता गतिशयात्म बुद्धिभिर् निरस्त माया कृतये नमो नमः. द्रव्य क्रिया हेत्व अयनेश कर्तृभिर् माया गुणैर्वस्तु निरीक्षितात्मने अन्वीक्षयां गति गत गत गतिशयात्म बुद्धिभिर् निरस्त माया कृतये नमो नमः. द्रव्य क्रिया हेत्व अयनेश कर्तृभिर् माया गुणैर्वस्तु निरीक्षितात्मने अन्वीक्षयां गत गतिशयात्म बुद्धिभिर् निरस्त माया कृतये नमो नमः. Dravya, by the objects of sense enjoyment. Kriya, the activities of the senses. Hetu, the predominating deities of sensory activities. Ayana, the body. Isha, the predominating time. Kartibi, the false egotism. Maya Gune, by the modes of material nature. Vastu, as a fact. Nirikshita, being observed. Atmane, unto the Supreme Soul. Anvikshaya, by careful consideration. Anga, by the limbs of yogic practice. Atishaya Atma Buddhi Bi, by whose intelligence has become fixed. Nirasta, completely freed from. Maya, the illusory energy. Akritye, whose form. Namaha, all respectful obeisances. Namaha, respectful obeisances. Translation: the objects of material enjoyment, sound, form, taste, touch and smell, the activities of the senses, the controllers of sensory activities, the demigods, the body, eternal time and egotism are all creations of your material energy. Those whose intelligence has become fixed by perfect execution of mystic yoga can see that all these elements result from the actions of your external energy. They can also see your transcendental form as super soul in the background of everything. Therefore, I repeatedly offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport: the objects of material enjoyment, the sensory activities, attachment to sensual pleasure, the body, false egotism, and so on are produced by the Lord's external energy, Maya. The background of all these activities is the living being, and the director of the living beings is the super soul. The living being is not the all in all. He is directed by the super soul. In Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Krishna confirms this. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matta smritir jnanam apohanam cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. The living entity depends on the Supreme Soul for directions. A person advanced in spiritual knowledge or a person expert in the practice of mystic yoga, yama, niyama, asana and so on can understand transcendence either as Paramatma or as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord is the original cause of all natural events. He is described as Sarva Karana Karanam, the cause of all causes. Behind everything visible to our material eyes is some cause. And one who can see the original cause of all causes, Lord Krishna, can actually see. Krishna, the Sachidananda Vigraha, is the background of everything. As he himself confirms in the Bhagavad Gita 9:10, Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suyate Sa Characharam Hetunanena Kaunteya Jagat Viparivartate. This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and it is producing all moving and unmoving beings. By its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport to Canto 5, Chapter 18 of the Srimad Bhagavatam in the matter of the residence of Jambudvipa, offer prayers, text 37. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shunakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shiyuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Praishtaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swaminiti Namine Namacharya Padaya Nitai Kripak Prataine Gorakata Dhamadaya Nagaragrama Tarine Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Praishtaya Bhutale Srimate Gopi Parana Dhanadase Iti Namine Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Praishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Hukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langai Te Girim Yatkripatamaham Bande Shri Guru Nittarinam Yatkripatamaham Bande Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram Katajana Smrite Yasmin Dushkaram Sukaram Bhavet Vismrite Viparitam Syat Shri Chaitanyam Namamitam
So, in this verse, Prabhupada explains how one, behind everything visible to our material eyes is some cause, and one who can see the original cause of all causes, Lord Krishna, can actually see. Krishna, the Sachidananda Vigraha, is the background of everything. So, this text and purport, we see how Prabhupada explains very elaborately, or rather very precisely, that there are no, that Krishna, the Supreme Lord, is the original cause of all natural events. So there are no undirected processes, there are no chance events, but rather the Supreme Lord is the original cause of all natural events. Now, this worldview that, rather it's not a worldview, but it's a fact, it's a reality that Krishna is the cause of all causes. So this is directly in opposition to what modern scientists and many of the modern scholars believe, that life is a result of undirected natural processes, came about by chance, and so on. So, since we are observing the festival of Jagannath Rath Yatra, so it took me some time to figure out how do I speak about Jagannath Rath Yatra and about Lord Jagannath and about this verse. So somehow Lord Jagannath was kind and he gave me some intelligence yesterday to speak as one continuity about Lord Jagannath and this particular verse. In English there is a phrase called juggernaut. It is a word rather called juggernaut. You look it up in the dictionary, you'll find it. J-U-G-G-E-R-N-A-U-T. Now, this word, if you look it up in Wikipedia and other sources, you'll find that this word originates in the Rath Yatra festival at Jagannath Puri. So when the British established their empire in India, they found this Jagannath Rath Yatra phenomenon, they just couldn't comprehend it. It was utterly incomprehensible to them. You have huge towering chariots, you have throngs of ecstatic devotees, and the chariot moves with great force. There are hundreds and thousands of people. I was there in 2006. It's unbelievable. It's like a sea of people, lakhs of people, or as they say in America, hundreds of thousands of people. So the word juggernaut in English has come to mean something which moves with massive force and which requires absolute self-sacrifice. Because why absolute self-sacrifice? Because previously, now we have police and it's more controlled, but previously people would just jump in front of the chariot and get crushed by the wheels of the chariot. So different dictionaries have different variations on the meaning, but the essential meaning is something which moves with tremendous force, unstoppable, you know, and that crushes everything along its path. So for the British, this phenomenon was a classic example of the cultural inferiority of Indian Vedic civilization, where the follower of blind faith, he worships wood and stone, he bows down absolutely to wood and stone. And so the journals that were published in the 19th century, they referred to Jagannath as having a frightful visage painted black with a distended mouth of bloody color. I'm actually quoting it exactly as it is. So that's how they would characterize Lord Jagannath. And there is a very nice article called Encounter with the Lord of the Universe. This is written by His Grace Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, and it appeared in the Back to Godhead magazine in 1980. So there he quotes this from this journal, how they describe Lord Jagannath. Now, this is something which they just, I mean, it is the ultimate example of what blind faith can lead to. Now, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu writes that if we look at what has happened today, during the 19th century and the 20th century, early 20th century, there was a saying that the sun never sets on the British Empire, because the British Empire was so vast that almost across the whole world they had some place which they had occupied. So if the sun rises in the east, and before it sets in that country, it would already rise in some other country which they had occupied. And before it sets in that country, it would rise in some other country. So like that, if you look, the sun is always shining on the British Empire. So they were so proud of their empire. And they considered this Jagannath Rath Yatra to be something very, very inferior, some primitive kind of thing. But if we notice, Ravindra Swarup brings out very nicely, that if we notice what has happened today, the British Empire has vanished, but Jagannath has prevailed. The Rath Yatra at Puri goes on. And not only goes on at Puri, but now Jagannath rides the streets of London on his towering chariots. And not only the streets of London, but across the whole world, Los Angeles, New York, Durban, I mean throughout the whole world, Lord Jagannath rides on his chariot. So this is the effect of Lord Jagannath, that he can crush everything and establish himself in all parts of the world. I mean, when I say crush everything, I meant crush the atheistic propaganda. He's the Lord of the universe, and he can establish himself across the whole world. And in fact, this particular phenomenon of bringing Lord Jagannath's chariot across the whole world was the act, specifically the act of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, the founder acharya of ISKCON. So he's the one who established the Rath Yatra of Jagannath across the whole world, and right through the streets of London. Now, Prabhupada had that spirit, that Krishna is the cause of all causes and everything else, any other theory, is nonsense. He spoke with great force. In fact, Prabhupada said that his only qualification was that he was a sent person follower of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, as we know, was born during the time of Jagannath Rath Yatra. And at the time of his birth, Lord Jagannath's chariot, as it was passing through the house of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the father of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as we know, was the magistrate. So, somehow, by Krishna's will, by Lord Jagannath's will, the chariot stopped in front of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house and it couldn't move. And finally, when the wife of Bhaktivinoda Thakur brought Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to the chariot of Lord Jagannath, a garland from Lord Jagannath dropped on Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So, we know that Lord Jagannath likes Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati very much. And Prabhupada said, I don't know Krishna. I know my Guru Maharaj. And he knows Krishna. And it was one of the outstanding contributions of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that previously what was considered as primitive worship, primitive idol worship, and primitive whatsoever of blind faith in some god and things like that. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, by his writings, he strongly established how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how he is the cause of all causes. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he powerfully propagated this message. Is extremely powerful. Of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had two sons, and both of them are great devotees. One of them is Lalit Prasad Thakur, and one of them is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur specifically understood the mind of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and wanted to establish this Krishna consciousness movement across the whole world. And he preached very fearlessly. He was a great scholar. And Prabhupada writes about his spiritual master. Just give me a second. I know what he writes, but it's good to hear it from his own mouth. Prabhupada writes, in fact, this is a conversation where he says, when my Guru Maharaj was present, even big scholars were afraid to talk with even his beginning students. My Guru Maharaj was called Living Encyclopedia. He could talk with anyone on any subject. He was so learned and no compromise. He never compromised. So that was the spirit with which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur preached Krishna consciousness. And if we read the books of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, we study his teachings, if we study his life, you can see the same spirit of a spiritual master. So we are generally called Rupanugas. Rupanugas means the followers of Rupa Goswami, the leader of the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But we in ISKCON are specifically called the Saraswata Rupanugas. Namaste Saraswate Deve. The Saraswata Rupanugas means the followers of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So, Prabhupada, he inherited this legacy of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to preach fearlessly. So he would tell us repeatedly, you can find it in his books, you can find it in his letters, you can find it in his conversation. And he'd say, establish this Krishna consciousness across the whole world very thoroughly. In a Bhagavatam purport, Prabhupada writes, in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.22, philosophy and science should be engaged to establish the glory of the Lord. Advanced people are eager to understand the absolute medium, absolute truth, through the medium of science. And therefore, a great scientist should endeavor to prove the existence of the Lord on a scientific basis. All knowledge not engaged in the service of the Lord is but nescience. Real utilization of advanced knowledge is to establish the glories of the Lord. And that is the real import. Scientific knowledge engaged in the service of the Lord and all similar activities are all factually Hari Kirtana or glorification of the Lord. So you see, Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Prabhupada, they taught us that if we can establish that Krishna is the cause of all causes, if we can glorify the Supreme Lord, then anything that is engaged in that process, philosophy, science, if it is engaged in that process, then that is actually Kirtan of the Lord. And Prabhupada told his disciple, Bhaktisurup Damodar Maharaj, prove it that God is a person. Prove it scientifically that God is a person. So that is one of the challenges he gave to his disciples who are scientists. He said, establish that God is a God is a person. And he said, smash all this scientific propaganda, this atheistic propaganda. And we may wonder that quite often Prabhupada, when he refers to scientists and scholars, he often, it is inescapable that after every sentence or so, you would find the word rascal being used. Right? It's one of the characteristic trademarks of Prabhupada. So, in a conversation on the 11th of May 1973, Prabhupada says, Darwin is a rascal. What is his theory? We kick out Darwin's philosophy. The more we kick out Darwin's philosophy, the more we advance in spiritual consciousness. So it's a very unique definition of advancement, very interesting definition of advancement in spiritual consciousness. So this is the Saraswata Rupanuga line, that we are interested in defeating anything that opposes the conclusion that Krishna is the cause of all causes. And specifically, speaking about Darwinism, Prabhupada said, at least a series of conversations that happened over many days about science, which is recorded in the book Life Comes from Life. On the 15th of May 1973, Prabhupada said, yes, for the last 200 years, they have been preaching that life comes from matter. Not for thousands of years, because one of his disciples said, for thousands of years they've been saying it. But Prabhupada said, he corrects him and says, yes, for the last 200 years they've been preaching that life comes from matter. Not for thousands of years. And the cheating will be finished in another 50 years. So at that time, when he said this cheating will be finished in 50 years, what it meant, I guess he wanted his disciples to establish Krishna consciousness on a scientific basis. Interestingly, we observe that scientists do not deserve, do not deserve the kind of, they are not objectively neutral, or they are not so-called honest. And Prabhupada knew that. So therefore he was very, very strong. And at least in the past, it was kind of more covered. But over the last two decades, we have now what is called militant atheism. The expression used is militant atheism, where the scientists have become very vocal. They are trying to speak strongly against
spirituality and religious beliefs. So then we have a person called Sam Harris. He is a neuroscientist, and he writes an essay called "Science Must Destroy Religion." Now, normally we associate these kind of things with, as they say, jihad. The scientists are very angry with the word jihad. But what does this sound like? Science must destroy religion. It's a very, very strong article. And then there are others like him who've written books. In fact, Sam Harris has written many books called Letters to a Christian Nation, where he attacks religious belief. Then you have others of his kind. You have Richard Dawkins, who's written a book called God Delusion, where he says that if somebody does not believe in evolution, that person is either ignorant, insane, or stupid. So this is the kind of language, this is the kind of jargon that they employ. And this is across that genre of scientists. So they, you have what is a phenomenon called militant atheism. And Prabhupada says 50 years it would be destroyed, right? So in 1996, which coincides with the 100th year of Prabhupada's birth, Prabhupada's centennial, it was the first time that a scientist from Leh University called Michael Behe, he released a book called Darwin's Black Box. So it was the first challenge to, first real challenge, scientific challenge to the theory of evolution. There he showed how a nanotechnology is very advanced technology, which works even in the cell, which Darwin called primitive. And especially that particular book focuses on a bacterial flagellar motor, a rotatory motor which has 30 complicated parts. Anyway, that book sold over a quarter million copies, and it was the first real work which challenged Darwin's theory of evolution and put the theory what is called intelligent design. Intelligent design, the concept that the universe is created by higher intelligence. It was the first book which put the theory of intelligent design on the cultural and scientific map. That is 96. 98, there was William Dembski, who is a mathematician with two PhDs. Cambridge University Press, they released a book called The Design Inference. So in this book, it's a highly technical book. I bought that book to try to figure out what he's trying to say in that. But it requires very sophisticated mathematical knowledge. So I had a hard time trying to figure out. But this is published by Cambridge University Press, where he shows mathematically the difference between the effects of intelligence and the effects of undirected natural processes. And again, this is something which really gave solid credibility to the intelligent design theory. And over the years, subsequently, many different scientists came up and started writing very, very powerful books on the theory of intelligent design. You have David Berlinsky, who countered Richard Dawkins with his book called Devil's Delusion. And then you had that classic book by Stephen Mayer called Intelligent Signature in the Cell. And that that particular book was quite amazing, because he previously worked for Microsoft, and he has a PhD in philosophy of science, and this book really shook the scientific community. And around the year 2009, when I was in Govardhan, I spent about 2 months in Govardhan, and one of the students at Gopi Parandan Prabhu's Srimad Bhagavata Vidyapeet had this book called Signature in the Cell, and I was immediately drawn to it, and I started reading. And for the next several days, I was continuously reading this book. And then one devotee came up and said, "Prabhu, you are in Govardhan, the topmost place for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas.
when you're reading a book, continuously I see that you're so absorbed in reading this book, day and night you're reading this book, signature in this cell. So then I said that, Prabhu, I agree with you that we are Gaudiya Vaishnavas, but we are specifically Saraswata Rupalugas. And this book is giving me spiritual ecstasy. So, well, we had an argument about it. And a few days later, Gopi Puranda Prabhu asked me to give the Bhagavatam class. And when I gave that Bhagavatam class, I interspersed that with different information from that book. And at the end of the class, Gopi Puranda Prabhu came up and said, he was very happy with that class. And he said, oh, it's very nice that you spoke like this. And then I said how I got this book and I was reading it, and that's how I was able to talk like this and from that book. And he said, this is Krishna's arrangement that you got this book. So then it was confirmed for me that, okay, I was doing something bona fide. Anyway, we know that that was the temperament of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That is the temperament of Prabhupada, that we should establish Krishna consciousness. We should defeat anything that is opposed to the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And specifically, as Prabhupada says, 50 years from now, that is 1973. So 50 years from that is 2013. And today we can see there are a great number of scientists, not just which you can count with your fingers, but rather it has become so much that this intelligent design movement is gaining a foothold, a strong foothold. And as Prabhupada says, in 50 years, they'll be practically finished. Which is a fact, which you actually read these books. I've read several of them. And you can actually see that they've comprehensively defeated Darwin's theory of evolution. And anybody who's not ignorant, insane or stupid, if they read these books, they can understand that Darwin's theory is ignorant, insane and stupid. So, so what Prabhupada predicted, 1973, has come true, that the theory that there is intelligent design behind the universe, the theory as Prabhupada, the fact as Prabhupada mentions in this purport, that Krishna is the cause of all causes, has been very strongly established. And for us, okay, we know that 50 years from now, 50 years from then, 1973, we have these books. But Prabhupada, he spoke these things in 1973. If you see the conversations that he had with his disciples in 1973, he speaks fantastic arguments. At that time, we may think, oh, what is Prabhupada saying? Very, very strong arguments. And if you look at the arguments today, many of those arguments that scientists have raised resemble the arguments that Prabhupada raised. And why did Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, the secret is, so I may not be a great scientist, but he said, I have full faith in what the Bhagavatam says. I have full faith in my spiritual master. In the year 1929, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he met Professor Suthers. He's from the Ohio State University. And Professor Suthers had heard about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So he wanted to meet him in Calcutta. However, at that time, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was in Mayapur. So, Professor Suthers, because he was fascinated with the scholarship of, he had heard so much about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he came all the way to Mayapur to meet him. And this whole conversation with Professor Suthers is documented in the book Ray of Vishnu. It's the biography of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It is a very fascinating question answer session with Saraswati Thakur. And on the topic of evolution, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, we have something called spiritual evolution, where the living entity goes from a lower species to higher species. The bodies don't get transformed. The modern evolution theory says that one species transformed into another. But they haven't found the missing links. You see, when one thing transforms to another, there has to be something intermediate, right? So otherwise, how do you have account for something? It does not suddenly happen overnight. So they're still trying to find the missing links, the intermediate evidence. So Prabhupada said, there are no missing links. The only missing link is my boot on their face. Hey, Prabhupada actually says this in these conversations, in these life's conversations. So Prabhupada had a very interesting way of dismissing these things called missing links. So in any case, so we the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we have the understanding of what's called spiritual evolution, where Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur nicely explains, we can notice the different stages of animal life from the invertebrates to the fully grown human beings. These stages have been classified by the Indian stages of a scientific outlook in 10 orders. The invertebrate, the shelly, vertebrate, erectly vertebrate, as in the combined form of man and beast, man and queen, dwarf, barbaric, civilized, wise, ultra wise, and destructive. These are the historical stages of jivas. According to the gradation of these stages, that's how we come up through the different species of life. According to the gradation of these stages, as indications of evolution of the serving mood of the jiva, there are 10 manifested, the 10 incarnations of the Lord. Matsya, fish, Kurma, turtle, Varaha, boar, Narasimha, man-lion, Vamana, dwarf, Parashurama, Rama, Krishna, Buddha, and Kalki as worshipable deities with eternal transcendental names, forms, attributes, and sports. Those who have acquired a true knowledge about incarnations with a thorough culture thereof will be able to, with the grace of the philosophers trained in the school of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to appreciate the ontology of Sri Krishna, especially the intense sweetness of his sports at Braja, the Vrindavan, and the neighborhood. So Professor Sadhas, this ends somewhere this conversation. And earlier Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that the Lord is so kind that as the jiva goes through his different species, he is kind to appear and give his association to the jivas in these different processes of how the soul transmigrates through these different species of life. And finally, at the end of conversation, Professor Sadhas is very fascinated. He says, I have just listened to many subtle truths in the science and philosophy of religion. He was a professor and really appreciated Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He said, I've just listened to many subtle truths in the science and philosophy of religion. Please let me have a conception of these intricate matters. And look at what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur replies. He says, the essential principle of Vaishnavism is that howsoever great a scholar, an intellectual giant, a man may be, he will not be able to appreciate even the easiest points of the Vaishnava philosophy until and unless he has entirely surrendered himself to an acharya whose character is the embodiment of the Vaishnava philosophy. I mean, it's a very, very fascinating expression. I'll read it again. The essential principle of Vaishnavism is that howsoever great a scholar, an intellectual giant, a man may be, he will not be able to appreciate even the easiest points of the Vaishnava philosophy until and unless he has entirely surrendered himself to an acharya whose character is the embodiment of the Vaishnava philosophy. You must have heard about the Indian scripture named Gita, which has been translated into different languages of the civilized world. There is a shloka in it, 434, which says that the Vaishnava philosophy is understandable only with unconditional surrender, honest inquiry, and serving temper. So, Prabhupada said, my only qualification was I fully believed in what my spiritual master spoke. So this is the example, and he says that his whole inspiration was Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's purport, where Vyavasatmika Buddhir Ekeha Kurunandana, where one should take the instruction of the spiritual master as one's life and soul. So Prabhupada took the instructions of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Therefore he said his pranam mantra should be Namaste Saraswate Deve, servant of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So he surrendered himself to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur whose character is the embodiment of the Vaishnava philosophy. And this is the only way to grasp the truths about Sri Krishna, to grasp the truths about how Krishna is the cause of all causes. And if we have to understand the truths of Vaishnava philosophy, then we have to be surrendered to Prabhupada. And surrender to Prabhupada means surrender to his instructions. And we have to be surrendered to his books. So the Prabhupada said books are the basis. So the surrender to Prabhupada or Founder Acharya is centered around surrender to Prabhupada's books. And you can see Prabhupada in his books, he speaks very strongly. He establishes Krishna consciousness very strongly. So Prabhupada has both in letter and in spirit established the powerful movement of Jagannath across the whole world. He has powerfully established Jagannath's Rath Yatra moves across the whole world. And he has powerfully established, they say that in English they say, the juggernaut rolls on. So through his book, he has established the philosophy of Krishna consciousness on a very, very strong footing. And as the Sarasvata Rupanugas, this is our business, that we should not only practice Krishna consciousness very strictly, but we should also establish Krishna consciousness with that same spirit, with that same fervor, with that same rigor that Srila Prabhupada established it across the world. This is our foremost duty. Otherwise, we cannot be called Sarasvata Rupanugas. So this is the legacy that Prabhupada has inherited from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And this is the legacy that we have inherited from Srila Prabhupada. And this is the legacy that has to continue for the next 10,000 years. As Kali Yuga progresses, you will find that militant atheism will increase. And Prabhupada, being a perfect pure devotee, he knew what exactly is needed to counter this propaganda. That's why you find that his books are very, very strong. Reading his books, you can never misunderstand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And you get the very clear impression that Krishna consciousness has to be established very, very strongly. So, on the occasion of the Jagannath Rath Yatra festival of the Rath Yatra festival of Lord Jagannath, let's imbibe this mood that we should establish Krishna consciousness uncompromisingly. And Lord Jagannath is very kind. He provides us with all facility. And he's very satisfied. Even if we offer him very, very simple, he's satisfied with very simple devotion. He's extremely kind. Prabhupada said, to worship Jagannath, he accepts worship even from the lower class of men. There's no problem. He likes. And especially, Jagannath is fond of Mahaprasadam. And I want to tell you one pastime of Lord Jagannath, which happened 2 days ago. I had been to the Rath Yatra in Calcutta. I didn't attend the Rath Yatra. I went there a few days later. And while coming back, I felt that I should carry some Jagannath Mahaprasadam. There is one devotee who works in my office called Hayagriva Prabhu. So, and he, I've learned from him how to actually appreciate Mahaprasadam. So I thought that, okay, let me do some service for him. Let me bring Jagannath's Mahaprasadam. And he really appreciates Mahaprasadam of the Lord. So I carried a pot. And while initially I was carrying the pot, it was leaking. So I was confused, what should I do? But I thought, no, this devotee, he likes Jagannath Prasadam so much. So it's my duty, somehow or the other, with great difficulty, I should carry this Jagannath Prasadam for this devotee. And then I brought it and I gave it to him. And I was so careful while carrying it, careful while giving it to him. It'll stay in your clothes, keep it afar, whatever. But so, nevertheless, somehow I managed to get that Prasadam. And he told me the next day morning that, Prabhu, you did something very nice yesterday. You brought me this Jagannath Prasadam. So I said, what happened? He said, while I was sleeping last night, I had a dream of Lord Jagannath. And in the dream, Jagannath appeared as a deity and he was dancing like this. Jagannath ki! So, we can imagine how kind Lord Jagannath is just by honoring his prasadam. He can appear with a dream and dance. So, Prabhupada is so kind that he's given us this facility to worship Lord Jagannath. So let's not miss this chance. We have this human form of life, and we have the highest philosophy, the philosophy that has been presented to us by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this whole temperament of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Chakur and the temperament of Srila Prabhupada is reflects Lord Chaitanya's mood, because Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, in the Adi Leela of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he explains that Lord Chaitanya, he is like a lion. He has the shoulders of a lion. He roars like a lion. So this whole spirit of establishing Krishna consciousness across the world is originally coming from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The spirit, like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was called the Simha Guru, the spirit of the lion-like temperament, is coming actually from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's the legacy that Prabhupada has given us. So let's do that. Let's honor Jagannath's Mahaprasadam, and then Jagannath will be pleased with us and our life will be successful. So I'll stop here. So if there are any comments or questions, so I think I've gone over time. Nevertheless, if there are any, those who want to leave can leave, but if there are any comments or questions. Yes, Rohit.
Our scientists should prove the existence of God scientifically.
Yeah.
But then there's this, we constantly say that the experience of God is beyond the gross material senses, Atashi Krishna Nama. The experience of God is inconceivable, meaning it cannot be verified by gross scientific investigation. So I always wondered, how can you reconcile those two points? Because the scientists, they deal with only things that can be verified in a gross way, not in an inconceivable or a subtle way. So how would somebody prove the existence of God using the present scientific method? I don't see how it could be done.
Okay, this is a very good question. So on the one hand, we say that while Prabhupada told us to establish Krishna consciousness, prove scientifically the existence of God. On the other hand, we say Krishna consciousness is inconceivable. The experience of God cannot be comprehended through material phenomenon. They are not incompatible, because what you can do maximum with science is the empirical method can establish, just like this intelligent design scientists, they very thoroughly established that there is intelligence involved in the creation. To that extent, is definitely possible that it is not undirected natural processes, it is not chance, it is not accident, but rather there is intelligent design. Now they may not, they may not go one step further and say there is God. Of course, many of these, some of these are, not all of them, some of them are secular scientists, but some of them are Catholics or Christians. So they believe that intelligent design refers to intelligent person. So that there needs to be that one step of logical inference that William Dembski, he wrote this book, Design Inference, which I quoted. So there he gives a very nice analogy. He says that in America, I think you would know, there's Mount Rushmore, where there the faces of four previous American presidents are engraved, right? So he says that anybody who goes to Mount Rushmore and sees those faces, there is not one person, even the scientists, not one person will say that this happened by chance over millions of years ago. The rocks formed by itself into the images of these four people. Nobody is going to say that. So what Dembski does in his book called The Design Inference is, it is published by Cambridge University. So it is an acknowledged book where he clearly establishes that there are certain features of design which cannot happen by undirected natural process. So as an analogy for the layman to understand, he gives this example that it is not possible for these four faces of the American presidents, four different presidents, to appear on Mount Rushmore by chance. It has happened because somebody has carved it there. And that anybody can understand. He said even a child can understand. So there are certain exclusive features of design, which there are certain exclusive, which cannot happen otherwise. It's called mutually exclusive in the language of mathematics. Mutually exclusive means it can either be here or here. It cannot be here and here. So you cannot have a situation of, that situation can only involve certain intelligence. Like for example, that carving involves certain intelligence. It cannot happen, no matter what, by some chance or accident. So there are certain characteristics of design which are inevitable for those kind of things. So that is what he analyzes. He analyzes human creations and he analyzes nature's natural things. So then he establishes that there are certain elements of human creation which you can never find in, these so-called undirected natural processes. So that's the way you can establish that God is there is an intelligent design. But it takes one step of logic to think that God is a person. But that can only come through the process of surrender. Like Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita, that at least one should theoretically accept that Krishna is God. At least theoretically. And then when we start reading the Bhagavad Gita and following its instructions, then we realize bhakti is pareshanubhava. It's beyond, it cannot be grasped through material means. So the experience of God can only come through bhakti. But the existence of God, that can be established by material science.
Yeah, thank you. Very nice answer.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jagannath Rath Yatra Mahotsav ki. I have an announcement. There is Bhakta Jeff Prabhu who is there. Could you please come here, Proji? So that people can see you. There is a pillar there. So if you could just come ahead. He is interested in establishing evening Bhagavad Gita class from between 7 and 7:30 p.m. or starting at 7 or 7:30 in English every day. So if you are interested in such a class, you could please give your names to him. Thank you. Hare Krishna.